So we've been walking through this idea of surrender, this challenge of surrender in our life, the yielding of our life to God, the giving over of control to the Almighty God. And what I find so amazing is that many times what keeps us from surrendering is we feel like we won't have the life that we want to have. But can I tell you, the giver of life wants to give you life, and that happens only when we surrender. And so we're going to continue walking through, kind of closing this series out with the how of surrender. And a great illustration of the pig and the chicken. And I believe that we have to come to a point in our life where we realize that we have been kind of laying a lot of eggs in our life, and now it's time to give Him the whole thing. And so if you would open up your Bibles to Romans 12, we're going to be reading out of Romans 12 verses 1 and 2, a very familiar verse to you guys and to me also. I think we've walked through this verse up here before, and many times in your Sunday school classes, I'm sure, in life group classes, you've talked through this. You've heard this passage many times as a child as we talk about worship and being a living sacrifice. So what I want to encourage you to do this morning is just pray. God, open up my eyes to see, open up my heart to understand something new in His Word. I believe that anytime we open up God's Word, it should change us somehow. It's so powerful, it should change us. So may we pray that God would open up our spiritual eyes to see a truth in Him. And here's the confidence that we have. God knows your heart. He knows your life. He knows everything about you. He knows what your struggles are. He knows your weaknesses. He knows everything about you. And today, pray and say, God, show me your truth in a powerful way. Change me, transform me into who you want me to be. And so as we open up God's Word today, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, allow God to open up your spiritual eyes. And let's see what God has for us today. If you would, and you're able, let's stand as we read God's Word together. Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 1, it says this. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Father, thank you for your Word. Thank you for the power that's in your Word. Holy Spirit, have your way in us today. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So keep your Bibles open to Romans 12. We're going to walk through and talk a little bit about what it means to live a surrendered life. What does a surrendered life look like? And I believe as we walk through this passage, what we find in this passage, some key elements of a life that is surrendered. And I pray that we find ourselves here. This is where I want to be, and I pray that this is where you want to be as a believer also. If you look at the very beginning, it says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God. Never forget the mercy of God. Never, ever forget the mercy of God. We are so grateful for His grace. But listen, we should be thankful and grateful for His mercy in our life, that He allows us to do the things that we get to do and to live for Him in spite of who we are and what we deserve. We are able to live for Him. So by the mercies of God, listen, this is what Paul says, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Listen, a surrendered life, first and foremost, a surrendered life is this. It's a life that has offered themselves, and we've offered our life in sacrifice. We have offered our life as a sacrifice to God. So a surrendered life is a life that's been offered. And now this passage says, present yourselves. Listen, this is an act that we take on as believers. We offer ourselves to God. Now this is an incredible play on words. So for those that were reading this, their eyes probably jumped. They're probably wide open. Living sacrifice. Offer, present before God as a living sacrifice. Listen, we recognize in the Old Testament and what the readers were accustomed to at the time was this sacrifice that would be made to their God. to God Almighty. They would bring an animal, a spotless animal, and they would take it to the priest. It would be slaughtered. The blood would be sprinkled on the altar. It was offered as a offering to God. It was a sacrifice that they brought before God to come before Him to find forgiveness for their sin. And so now here's what Paul is saying. He's given them this clear new picture of what an offering, what a sacrifice looks like in the new covenant, this new relationship with Jesus. That no longer does Jesus requires, God require an animal sacrifice, because listen, Jesus became the perfect lamb sacrifice for the sin of all the world. But what God is asking for in our life is that we become a living sacrifice to Him. Now listen, that had to be overwhelming to read that no longer is there an animal involved, a dead animal, but now there's something living and it's us. We're called to be the living sacrifice for God. What does that mean for us to be the living sacrifice? Now they probably heard stories of Abraham and Isaac, but listen, for them, an offering was a dead offering. And you know what? I think this is very similar to the church today. And I read this, I thought, this is pretty powerful. Listen, this is where we are as a church. The church is filled with a lot of people. And I say church universal Christians around our country and our world. Our churches are full of dead offerings and not living sacrifices. So to this day, I think we kind of rest as a dead offering when God is calling us to be a living sacrifice. And what does that mean? What is the difference? A dead offering is one that says, Jesus, I'm yours. I'm giving you my life. Come into my life and rescue me. Listen, but I'm going to live my life the way that I want to live. I've become a dead offering. A living sacrifice says this, God, I am yours. I'm giving you my life, not just today, but tomorrow and the day after, for the years to come. Every breath that I breathe, every word that I speak, everything that I do is yours. I'm giving you everything every single day. I want to be a living and breathing sacrifice for you so that you get glory in my life. Listen, there is a difference. And I just want to throw out this first challenge to you. Do you, as you look and allow the Lord to examine your life and your heart, what does He see? Does He see a dead offering? Or does He see a living sacrifice? Does He see a dead offering and does He see a living sacrifice? Listen, we're not going to be a perfect sacrifice. Jesus was the perfect sacrifice, but God calls us to be a living sacrifice. One that is continually serving and giving to Him. A surrendered life is a living sacrifice. Are you a living sacrifice today? Has your life been given over to Him? Or have you presented, offered your life to God? Have you handed that over to Him? Not just a little piece of your life, but the whole thing. And I think about the pig, and I think, wow, that was the total commitment. The chicken only had to give a little bit, but listen, the pig had to give everything. A living sacrifice gives it all. But as we look at this passage, not just a surrendered life doesn't just offer their life as a sacrifice. Listen to what it says. It goes on and it says this, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. So a surrendered life doesn't just offer their life as a sacrifice. Listen, a person that is surrendered also offers their mind to be transformed. We offer and present our mind to God to be transformed and renewed and changed. What an incredible challenge for us. Listen, we can grasp the living sacrifice, can we not? I mean, we know what it means to live for Him. We can be obedient to Him, I hope. We know what we need to do. When we walk out of this door, we know that we can serve Him and we can live a life that gives Him honor and glory. But now we're talking about renewing our mind. What does it mean to have our mind transformed for God? Well, I think you got to realize what the opposite of it. Why would Paul in this passage say, do not be conformed any longer to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Listen, he realized there's a problem. He realized what was happening in the world at the time, in the church at the time, and it's the exact same thing that's happening in our world today. Listen, that word conformed, when you look at the word conformed, it can be translated, one way it can be translated as scheme. The schemes of the world. That's what it's doing. It's changing the scheme of your life and of your thought pattern. But I love the word, and it can be translated like this, it's fashioned. I think of the word conformed, and I think of the word fashioned. And what that means is this, you're fashioning something into a certain shape. And that's what's happening in what Paul is talking about. What's happening is the world is beginning to fashion the people's minds. When I was hadn't been here all that long, we took a mission trip to Moldova. And there's only about four of us that went to Moldova. We flew over there and did some work with the Vandekars. It was a great trip. But one of the things, every trip is different. Every mission trip, if you ever get to go on any mission trip, I want to encourage you to take part, whether it's local in the United States, whether it's international, but take part and allow God to use you in that. It's life-changing. But for this one, they were kind of talking about, we were meeting up with another team, and the ministry was centered around like kids ministry. You know, we're going to be visiting some orphanages and doing some ministry with the kids, which is pretty fun and amazing. Well, one of the things they asked is they said, do you know how to make balloon animals? Who knows how to make balloon animals? Yeah. So that's good. I know Judy's over there smiling. Yeah, I can do it. And Carolyn's the same way. So I wasn't real good at, I didn't know how to make balloon animals. But I'm like, yeah, we can make balloon animals. And so I went and got all the stuff necessary. Got the pump, got the balloons, you know, the long balloons. And I thought, this is going to be a piece of cake. And so I remember just sitting in my office for hours. I mean, I didn't have anything else to do. So I sit in my office for hours and hours, taking it home for hours and hours, doing the balloons, tying them off and going, I mean, it is so loud and so annoying. I'm not kidding. If you've ever seen a person make a balloon animal, it makes you pull your hair out if you had hair. And so I would do it over and over, I mean, hours. And Amy at a point was like, you got to stop. I mean, this is ridiculous. So, do that. So we went to Moldova, and after hours and hours and hours and hours of me practicing with my balloon animals, we would go there, and what we'd do, we'd line up, and kids would get into our line, and they would come up, and you would do, and I would just say, so, what do you want me to make? And they'd be like, ooh, a puppy. And I go, here's a sword. You know, like that's all I could do. I could just do a sword. And so they'd go, how about a heart? And I'm like, here's a sword. You know, and every kid, I felt really bad. They just walked away looking at me real sad. And Jesus loves you, you know, that kind of thing. But it was so bad. I was so horrible at it. That's what I think of what the world is doing to our minds. And this is what Paul is thinking. Listen, we may have our intentions and thoughts about what's happening in our world today. We may feel like we can control what's going on. But can I just tell you, little by little, the world is creeping into our lives. It is. Creeping into our churches, into our homes. And what it's doing, it's slowly and subtly is fashioning our minds. Little by little, through the things that we watch, through the words that we hear on the radio and on TV, slowly but surely the world is fashioning our minds in the pattern of the world. Listen, that is Satan's great tactic. And we've become desensitized many times to the patterns of the world and what is happening in the world. And before too long, we become just accustomed to the patterns of this world. Listen, that means that our mind has been fashioned. Paul saw this, and he says, listen, don't be conformed to the patterns of the world any longer. Something's got to change. Allow the Lord to renew your mind, transform your mind into what He wants you to be. See, here's the issue that we find in churches today and in our life, and listen, we've all been there, is this. We've allowed so much of the world to fashion our minds in a certain way that people just can't tell the difference between an unbeliever and a believer. We've been so desensitized to the patterns of the world that we, as Christians, look just like the world. If there was an argument against the church today, it would be this. You look just like us. You do the same things we do. Why would I want Jesus in my life? You see, this is the patterns of the world that have fashioned our minds. And Satan's having a heyday with that. And we look at what Paul is saying, and listen, a surrendered life is one that allows Jesus, the power of the Holy Spirit, to transform and renew our minds. What does that mean? Well, listen, that means, you know, we can work on the living sacrifice. We can do the things that God's called us to do. But when you talk about renewing your mind, listen, this is an inside job. And the Holy Spirit dwelling within you, working from the inside out. The word really we get from this is metamorphosis. It's the changing from the inside out. The Holy Spirit moving and working in us and within us, transforming and changing our minds, our thought process, our thought pattern, making us more and more and more like Jesus until the words that we say are His words. The things that we do are His actions. Listen, the way we treat others is the way Jesus would want us to treat others. It's the renewing of our mind. It's the transforming, the metamorphosis that takes place in our lives, the Holy Spirit moving and working within us, changing us into who He wants us to be. Listen, a surrendered life not only is a living sacrifice, and that's important, body, soul, spirit. Listen, we're supposed to offer our lives to Him, but have you offered your mind to Him? I'm a firm believer that what you put in is going to come out. And so a part of this offering of the mind is allowing the Word of God to saturate in your life. Filling up your life with the things that are of God. Filling up your mind with what He desires rather than what the world wants to give. So a surrendered life offers body, but also offering a mind that's to be transformed. But at the end of this passage, it says this. It goes on, it says, again, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. You know, as we are living sacrifices, as we give God our life on a daily basis, as we allow the Word of God to saturate in our life and the Holy Spirit transforming us from the inside out. Listen, it allows us to discern. And so what happens, a surrendered life offers up their will for God's will. And I believe that's one of the biggest purposes for the believer, to allow our plans and allow our desires to be pushed aside and to pursue the plans and purposes of God. You know, that word discern is such a powerful word. To be able to tell between what is good and what is bad and what is good and what is evil. But not only that, being able to make a decision and a choice between what is good and what is better from God and for God. Listen, that is discernment working spiritually in our life. And as a surrendered believer, or the surrendered life, we're saying, I want God's will to be done. I want God's plans to be preeminent in my life. I want to give everything over to Him and follow the desire and plans that He has for me. A surrendered life, offering up our will for His will. Discerning between what is good, maybe, what is better. You know, there are really two kinds of wills in Scripture. And one is God's sovereign will. And some may even say a mysterious will. And, you know, God doesn't hide anything, but His sovereign will is perfect, and we can't deny God's sovereignty. His sovereign will is the fact that He knows everything about you. He knows everything that's going on in your life. He knows what's going to happen tomorrow in your life. God knows all. That's His sovereign will. He knows exactly what's going to happen, and we cannot deny that. It is an incredible, and I believe the best way to understand that is to look in Scripture, and you see like Joseph's life, where many times we see God's sovereign will by looking in the mirror, you know, kind of thing, the backwards mirror there, and I just totally forgot what that's called. What is the rearview mirror? There you go, the rearview mirror, and seeing what's behind us. So thank you very much. Praise God. All right. So that's what we see. And, we can see God's sovereign will and how His hand was working and moving all through our life. We know that God has a sovereign will. But I don't think that's necessarily what this passage is talking about. This passage is talking about a different kind of will, and that's His revealed will. And that's the one that we pray and seek after every day. And, that's as a part as a believer. We're asking God to show us the daily decisions that we need to make and need to be a part of in order to bring Him glory. That's the part of the discerning as we walk this journey of faith. And that revealed will, listen, God again is not hiding it from us. It's us seeking after Him and leaning in on Him and allowing Him to lead us every single day. John Piper said this. That's the goal of this verse. Not uncovering the secret will of God that He plans to do, but discerning the revealed will of God that we ought to do. And that's what this is saying. See, a surrendered life is constantly seeking after God, constantly praying and talking to God, leaning in on Him, allowing Him to direct our lives where He wants us to be. Listen, a surrendered life is truly seeking after God's will. Now, if you think we're living in this journey in a very narrow path, which we are, Scripture talks about that, this narrow road. When we talk about this passage, you know, on the outskirts of the road, there's stuff that we know that we're not supposed to be a part of. You know, we don't have any qualms about that. Thou shalt not murder, all those things. But listen, which are very important. But in this path that we're walking, there's decisions to be made. There's choices that we have to make. And we make those daily. And sometimes those choices are just maybe God's very best compared to just what is good. But those are choices that we make daily. And that's a part of seeking His will. Are you offering everything over to Him and saying, God, I want Your will. I want Your plan in every step of the way, every part of this journey that I'm on. I desire for Your will to be done. Listen, those are the details of life that we bring before Him and seek after Him. A surrendered life, a living sacrifice, a mind that's transformed, and a will that is given over to God's will. Well, I think there's a couple of things with this, and this is how I'm going to close out as we talk about surrender. I hope every believer's desire is to live a surrendered life. If not, listen, this is a heart check, because if we're in this ride, we want to be all in on this ride. Okay, if you want Jesus, I guarantee you want all of Jesus. You need all of Jesus in your life. And so I want to encourage you today. There's some things that we need to do in order to live this surrendered life, to get to this kind of life that is surrendered, that is given over to the Lord, a renewing of the mind. And listen, just two simple things that I want to challenge you with is this. Trust Him completely. First thing is just trust Him completely today. If you're looking to go totally in, all in for Him and be surrendered in everything you do, then make the decision today to trust Him completely with everything that happens in your life. No matter what's going to go on in your life, no matter what happens tomorrow or a week down the road, you're going to trust Him completely with your life. And listen, this trust is not dependent on the situation. It's not dependent upon the environment. It is a total trust in faith in Him, believing in who He is and that He can do all things, that He is strong enough and powerful enough, believing that He is good above all things and all people, trusting Him no matter what. And if there's ever any inclination in your life today that says, I'm going to trust God because, listen, I know nothing bad's going to happen. I'm going to trust God because in the end I'm going to get my way. Look, if there's anything like that, that's helping you make this decision, and kind of push that aside, because when we trust God, we trust Him completely. When we trust God, we get on our knees and we raise up our hands. And we say, God, no matter what happens tomorrow, I trust You. No matter what this journey will have for me, no matter what happens with my family, my loved ones, no matter what situation our country may be in, I trust You completely. Whether I think I get what I want or not want, listen, is irrelevant, because I know You're a good God and Your plans are perfect. I trust You completely. Can I encourage you today? Trust Him completely. Here's what Scripture says in Psalm 9:10. It says, and those who know Your name put their trust in You. For You, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek You. Jeremiah 17 says this in verses 7 and 8. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green, and it is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. I don't know about you, but I've had some anxious days. I've had some days where they don't seem to shine as brightly as other days. I mean, I stood up here and did a funeral yesterday for a member of our church that was dearly loved. Listen, we've experienced these hard and difficult days. It begs the question, do we trust? Even in the midst of turmoil around us, do we trust? May I just encourage you to trust Him completely, because God is perfect. But not only that, listen, as we not just trust Him, but abide in Him constantly. If we're going to live the surrendered life, abide in Him constantly. Trust Him, lean in on Him, and abide in Him. What that word abide is really this connection with Him, this relationship, a healthy, ongoing, nonstop relationship with your Savior. This is what John 15:5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in Me and I in him, He it is that bears much fruit, for apart from Me, you can do nothing. J.C. Ryle says this, to abide in Christ means to keep up a habit of constant, close communion with Him, to be always leaning on Him, resting on Him, pouring out our hearts to Him, and using Him as our fountain of life and strength, as our chief companion and best friend. Are you abiding in Jesus? Are you connected to Him constantly and forever? Are you abiding in Jesus? Listen, if we're going to live a surrendered life, you cannot do that on your own. You cannot live a life on your own that is full of the joy and the passion and the strength that is required to live for Christ. You can't do that on your own. We have to abide in Jesus. Are you abiding in Him? Listen, if you have your Bibles, turn to John 15. Turn to John 15. I want you to look at that verse. This, to me, could be the key in surrendering. The key to living a life that is different, that has changed, that's transformed. All the things we talked about, living sacrifice, mind transformation, following after His will, listen, could be found in John 15, 5. I think it explains everything so eloquently, but I want you to focus in and just be reminded of this last part, because this is, to me, where the rubber meets the road. This is it right here. So look at that verse, John 15, 5. And this is on the ESV translation, but it says this, for apart from Me, you can do nothing. I want you to hear that, because this is vital in your Christian faith. If you walk out of here today and you think you can be a Christian just a little bit, if you walk out of here today and think, well, I can live my life in faith on Wednesdays and Sundays and I'll be just fine. Listen, you're missing it. You're missing it. Because listen, you will not have the joy, you will not have the power, you will not have the strength of life unless you're all in with Jesus. And so when you walk out of here today, I want you to hold on to the truth that you and I can do nothing apart from the power and the strength of Jesus Christ. Let us not be deceived by this world. Let's not be deceived by the self-help books that we find on the shelves. Listen, you and I can do nothing apart from the power of Jesus Christ. And today I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you today that we live a surrendered life. I'm not saying perfect. I'm just saying surrendered. I want to give everything over to Him. Why? Because I want to be that light. I want to be that witness. I want to be a part of the world being changed. I want revival to take place. I want my workplace to be different. I want my family to be different. Listen, if that's our desire and if that's what we want more than anything else in this world, listen, then it's going to start with our relationship with Jesus, and we got to be all in. Surrender everything over to Him. Listen, apart from Him, we can do nothing. But listen, I believe with all my heart, Jesus can do all things. And so when we're connected to Him, when we're abiding in Him, when we're surrendered to Him, it is endless to what Jesus can do through you. A church that is surrendered changes the world. A life that is surrendered changes schools. A life that is surrendered changes the workplace. Listen, Jesus changes everything. And I want to just encourage you today, surrender. Abide in Him and let Him do a mighty, mighty work through you.